The guidance not on payments, on phased payments. Here we also expected a question maybe from the member states on this guidance, on this topic. First of all, because it is a novelty. The phased payments is something completely new in the new programming period. But also article which speaks about phased payments, it is article 41, is quite technical and detailed. And we got a lot of questions from the fund managers, from the managing authorities, about certain provisions in this article and how to read these provisions, because they are quite technical and complex. So this is how the note was initiated. The note is now still in the finalization. We presented the note to the member states, it was in February, in this adhesive committee which Rachel mentioned. And then we got during the meeting, but also following the meeting, written questions and requests for extension of this note. So we were asked to add some new concepts to the note, to add a numerical example. So now we are at the stage where we are really finalizing the note, and we hope that still before summer this note will be done and will be on FeeCompass website. Before we start looking into this note and into this article, it is good to recall the two main concepts which appear in the phased payments. The first is the ESIF program contribution. We have seen, and this was really we were surprised, we have seen that in different member states there is a different understanding of this notion ESIF program contribution. So for many member states, ESIF program contribution means the contribution from ESIF only. While for us it was obvious that if we speak about program, we speak about ESIF and national co-financing. So this was already the first misunderstanding which we wanted to clarify. The other issue was the national co-financing, because this article speaks a lot about national co-financing, and there was an immediate question, what is this national co-financing? Is it the national co-financing at the level of the priority, or it is a national co-financing in a particular instrument? And then the note is clear and says this is the national co-financing at the level of the financial instrument operation, which can be, of course, different than at the level of the priority access. You may have a different co-financing rate between the operation and between the priority. The national co-financing, which is in the financial instrument operation, can be private and public. This depends on how your priority access is set. If you have a public program, then you may have only public national co-financing. If you have a total program on total funding, you may have also private funds considered as national co-financing. And of course, in financial instruments operation, national co-financing can come at different levels. So it can be brought by the managing authority immediately, but it can come also at other levels, at the level of the fund of funds, at the level of the financial intermediary, or even at the level of the investment and final recipient. And here, the sentence which is at the end of this slide, which is very important and on which we had already some disagreements with some member states, on contribution by final recipient does not count as national co-financing. So if an enterprise brings its own money to the business and participates in the project, this money is very important, but this is not national co-financing, which is then presented to the Commission as eligible expenditure and on which we will reimburse ESIF funds. The novelties which we have in phased payments. Actually, the novelties can be summarized in 3 points. The first is that the payments are phased now. In the past, there was a possibility to declare 100% upfront to the Commission. The Commission was immediately paying the reimbursing the appropriate allocation of EU funds. Now it is made in tranches, in phases. Maximum 25% can be requested by the managing authority from the Commission. The second feature is that this phased payments is very much linked to the implementation on the ground. So actually each tranche is linked to the implementation on the ground. The exception is only the first tranche, which we treat as an advance and which is money needed for the fund manager to start up the implementation of the fund. And the third feature of phased payments is that while normally commission reimburses the expenditure by the managing authority, so managing authority has to pay public amounts and then declare this public amounts to the commission and commission reimburses this, there is an exception in this concept for the national co-financing. So managing authority does not need to pay the national co-financing to the financial instrument, but can declare this amount to the commission as eligible expenditure. And this is for the first time in cohesion policy that the declaration to the commission is made based on the envisaged amount which will be later on put into the system. This concerns, of course, only the national co-financing, as if part has to be paid up front. This phased payments scheme is not applicable to SME initiative because we have different rules for SME initiative under Article 39. It does not mean that there are no rules, there are rules, but there are quite different rules. And phased payments scheme does not apply, of course, to the situation where managing authority gives loans or guarantees directly, because there is no fund set up, so there is no advance payment to the fund at all. We got a question from the member states whether these provisions apply to the level between the member states and the fund managers, so whether this tranching also should take place between the managing authority and fund manager. And indeed, formally, this article applies only to the commission and the member states. So this article rules on the relation between the member states and the commission, but we strongly recommend that this is also mirrored in the relation between the managing authority and the fund manager. We also are worried that the public funds are properly spent, so there is no need for the managing authority to put up front 100% of public funds. It can be also tranched and adapted to the financing needs. This is all for the payments, and now we go to the conclusion.
Shall we maybe make a quick break, because there might be some questions about these two. Is there any question about the working capital and the payments? No, I have a short one. We are not in a big hurry. You've done fantastic work, actually. If I'm at the managing authority level and I'm thinking about national co-financing, I have a company, an enterprise that is ready to finance part of this, and you mentioned that this is not eligible. Don't you think that this discourages companies of financing, so to say, investing?
I mean, indeed, it is not eligible, and this was our... thank you very much for the question. This was really the discussion which we have with some member states. The problem is that we cannot declare this expenditure, which is made by the final recipient itself, as an eligible expenditure under financial instruments rules. We want very much that enterprise adds its own contribution, and this is also very much a market practice that the banks, they want to have to see their own capital, and we will count it as an impact of cohesion policy, but this cannot be counted as national co-financing, and I may add also that this is not counted as a leveraged resources either. The leveraged resources are invested into the final recipients and not brought by the final recipient itself. So for the impact, it has really it is relevant, but not for the national co-financing, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you. Then we go on with something that I think interests us all a lot, because to me that sounds like a very tricky thing. Combinations.
Yes.
Of yes. Sorry, Ken.
The 25%. It's just to be clear. It's 25% of the 25% of the ESIF program committed to the fund, as opposed to 25% of the capital committed to the fund, because you could have more funding coming in, which you don't necessarily consider as part of the ESIF program.
It is 25% of the program contribution committed in the funding agreement. So most likely managing authority agrees with the fund manager that even if managing authority brings only ESIF part, there will be some other parts coming through the process, and these other parts will also constitute the program resources. Then the entire amount is treated as the basis. And then 25% of this committed amount can be declared to the Commission.
Did you get the answer?
In fact, in UK, this relaxation came because of UK in the past. In UK, we had a situation that managing authority was putting as EU contribution to the financial instrument, and very often the national contribution was coming as a co-investment directly into the final recipient. So there was a business angel co-investing or other private investment co-investing into the final recipient. And then, in the past, the managing authority was able to declare to the Commission only this ESIF part. So managing authority was declaring to the Commission only this ESIF part, but Commission was applying to this ESIF part co-financing rate. So at the end, the managing authority even did not get back from the Commission the ESIF part, because the ESIF part was lower because of the application of the co-financing rate. So now for the new period, somehow also this was initiated by UK, we introduced the rule that this national co-financing, which is coming later, can also be declared to the Commission, and then in fact UK will get the whole EU contribution back from the Commission. So this is the entire amount of the program.
Rachel?
So, no, just to come into clarity, are you talking though about outside program resources? So the situation where you have a program contribution, say, of 50 into a financial instrument, but there's also other things going on which is completely outside the... Is that just to clarify?
Yes, that was the main question I was getting at. If you had outside sources of funding, which not necessarily use as match, so you have a fund of, so let's say, 100 million, 50 consists of the ESIF program, i.e., let's say 25 EIRDF, 25 national match, but outside of that you also have other funding which you wouldn't necessarily consider.
No, then this does not count. The limit is the program contribution.
It's a program. Okay, thank you.